This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this second Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
President Eisenhower once asked Billy Graham, "Billy, could you explain to me how a person can be sure when he dies that he's going to heaven?" We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prepare our hearts, O God, for the celebration of Christ's birth. As we look into our world, there is so much to fear, but help us to hear Christ say, "I came to bring you hope, and in that hope you will find peace." God, speak to our hearts through your word, and grant that we may be drawn closer to you in this wonderful time of the year. For we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, have you ever wondered what kind of a conversation Mary had with Jesus as he was growing up? Now, perhaps you consider that a very silly question, but we're in this time of the year where we talk about the God incarnate, that is, God coming to this earth. To be born like a man, to live like a man, to die like a man. And there are so many mysteries there that many of our minds cannot stop pondering what might have been going on. Now, I'm wondering if along the way, Mary had those quiet talks with Jesus like any mother would have with her child. And maybe one day, as an answer to a question, "Where was I born, Mother?" And Mary would have said, "Well, you were born in a manger. There was no room in the inn for your father to get me a room. But the man was kind enough to let us go out there, and you were born." Wouldn't that have caused Jesus, if he were just an ordinary boy of 5-6 years old to get an answer like that. But then later on, I wonder if Mary could have said to Jesus, "You know, Jesus, we don't know what we have in you. You are so different from any other child, your own siblings. You never do anything wrong. It's always perfect, and that is extremely unusual." I don't know whether that ever happened. The Bible says that Jesus, that Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And perhaps she did not even question her own son regarding some of these things or announce to them what the circumstances had been as he was growing up. I wonder what Jesus thought when he went into the synagogues on a Lord's Day and he saw the ritual as it was being read. He heard them read from the law. The rabbi did that. He heard them stand up and read from the prophets, and some people talked about what the prophet meant to them. He knew that they were looking for a Messiah. But the Messiah they expected to come as sort of a military man and take these Jews and let them fight the Romans, and then they would have their freedom at last. For this, after all, according to their thought, was the land that God had given to them, and it must come back. But Jesus could very well have thought, as he left the synagogue and returned to the carpenter shop, I just wonder if these people have any hope. They don't have much to come and go on. And as he drew closer to the full awareness himself that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world in this incarnate state, that this became his mission. "I have come not only to build a kingdom," and that's what we talked about last week, "but I have come to bring hope to the people of this entire world, not only to Israel, but to all human beings." And so at the age of 30, he began his ministry. And one of his first acts was to select and train 12 disciples. This he did for 3 years. And during the course of this time, he was always emphasizing hope, hope, hope. Just imagine what impression it must have left on the disciples when one day they brought that woman taken in the very act of adultery, and they announced to Jesus, "Well, you know, this woman can be stoned." And finally, after dealing with them, they didn't stone her. Jesus said, "No one condemned you?" "No, Lord, no one." "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He had granted to that woman the forgiveness of her sin. She came there without a doubt as a prostitute. She went home as a woman with a living hope, a clean slate. What kind of an impression did that make on the disciples? They were learning, and they were learning fast, that Jesus had come into this world not to re-emphasize all of the laws, though the law was important, but he had come to give another message, and that was a message of grace, the message of forgiveness, the message of love, the message of being able to start all over. Or perhaps they'll never forget that day when they were in Jericho, and Jesus went to stay in the home of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who was hated by the people. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. But he was taken aside by Jesus. And when it was all over, Jesus had turned that man's life around. He had become a new person. For here, Zacchaeus was a man who had hope. There was more to life than trying to get another dollar. There was more to life than just acquiring a tremendous estate. There was hope. He knew what the future had in store for him as far as eternity was concerned. And so as he sat with the disciples and talked to them about what they had seen him do and the message that he had proclaimed, he said, "The time is soon coming now when you are going to be the people who will carry this message around the world. For I am going up to Jerusalem, and there I am going to suffer and die for the sins of the world. When you see me hanging upon that cross, realize that I have all the sins of the world upon me, and I am making atonement, sacrifice, for every last person, and that sacrifice will be beneficial to everyone who trusts in me as their Savior and their Lord. But then I will be raised again on the third day, and that will be a sign that I have won the victory over sin, death, and the devil, and people again will receive hope. And then you are to go out into this world, and you are to tell the story." And so they went to Jerusalem. And exactly what Jesus said would happen did happen. He suffered and died for the sins of the world. He was raised again. And then 40 days after that resurrection, what happened? He gathered them together on a mountain, meaning the disciples. And he said to them, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And they wondered what was happening. They knew that they were supposed to come with a message of hope. And 10 days after that commissioning, which was the Ascension Day, 10 days after that, it was Pentecost. And they had all assembled together in the city of Jerusalem. And that Jesus was no longer with them. They were on their own, but the Holy Spirit was there. And finally, Peter got up and began to preach his sermon. You're wondering what this is all about, the coming of the Holy Spirit in this unique way? Well, I'll tell you. "You crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. And the results are that there is forgiveness for your sin." And so the people turned around and they said, "Lord, what shall we do? We didn't know all this about him. But now our eyes have been opened. Our hearts are receptive. What do we do?" And what was it that Peter said? He brought them the message of hope. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And that day, 3,000 people were added to the church. The church was born. And now it was to go out into all parts of the world with a message of hope. And where the Christian faith has gone, it has always brought with it the message of hope, people, the message of grace. And when a church departs from that message, it has then lost its first love. So they went. Peter, John, they added another one by the name of Paul, who had a special ministry among the Gentiles. And during those 2,000 years, the Christian faith went to the far parts of their little world. And finally, it was brought here to the United States of America, and it was brought down to your town and my town, your city and my city. And there we heard the message of Jesus Christ, and the churches were established, and their steeples reached heavenward, and the pastors stood in the pulpit, and they proclaimed, "There is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ." And that is what is going on in this day. For this is our day to tell the story of hope. And hope is needed by all in the world, whether they are prominent or insignificant, whether they're wealthy or they're poor, whether they're highly educated or have little education at all. Let me give you an example, and I'm going to read this from a book that I have just finished reading. It's entitled The Preacher and the Presidents, and it's a story of Billy Graham in the White House, written by Nancy Gibbs and Michael Duffy. Billy Graham became a pretty good friend of all of the presidents while he was really in his prime. And one of them, of course, was President Eisenhower. Eisenhower had finished his terms as the President of the United States and remained a very close friend of the evangelist. And so one day he invited Graham to come to his farm home in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. When he arrived there, they got into a Jeep and they went out over the farmland and they began to reminisce and thought about the days when that terrible battle of Gettysburg in the Civil War was being fought. And after it was all over, Billy Graham writes or tells, when they headed back to the house, Eisenhower asked if I would go upstairs to see Mamie, who had not been very well. Billy Graham says, I didn't know her at that time very well. And Graham said, I went to her bed and I prayed with her. And after that, they went downstairs for lunch. I knew he was thinking about something, Graham said. I knew there was a reason why he had me up there, and he didn't come to it yet. They were then in the den. Graham was seated. Eisenhower was pacing in front of the fireplace when he got to what was on his mind. Billy, he said, could you explain to me how a person can be sure when he dies, he's going to heaven? Surprised, Graham said, I'll try. And he pulled out his New Testament and walked him through those passages that explained salvation and its terms. He hoped he had provided some reassurance that salvation came through grace and not by anything we can do for ourselves. But many years later, he was still weighing the conversation. It was an interesting visit and a very humbling one for me, Graham said. I didn't feel that I could answer his question as well as others could have done, but I did my best and I turned his thoughts to the Word of God to be the answer to his question. Isn't that interesting? We have a people who are hungry. We have a people who have no hope. Who would have thought that Eisenhower would have been that interested in such a question? Either he had settled it or he had denied it, but it was on the top burner. Billy, will you tell me, is it possible to know that you can go to heaven? That man who had sent so many into battle, many of them never to come back again, was now tremendously concerned. The point is that we can have supposedly everything, fame and wealth and prestige and knowledge and all the rest, but only Jesus Christ can give us hope. It's the message not only for Billy Graham, it's a message for you and me. It's that message that's going to be carried to the far parts of the world. But it's that message that's going to be carried into our homes as we come to the Christmas time. It's a time when we can take our children aside and we can talk to them, putting them on our laps and showing how God loves us so much that he sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then saying, now someday you can grow up and know him as that wonderful Savior who's going to walk with you. It's a day when a friend can turn to another friend and say, let me tell you where I get my hope from. It comes from Jesus Christ. When I was a kid, there was a hymn that we sang often in our church, and I'd just like to read a stanza or two in the chorus of it. We've a story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right, A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. That the Lord who reigneth above has sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. Isn't that pretty much telling it all? We have a story to tell to the nation. If you're one of those people today who has no hope, I hope and pray that what Jesus has said to you in his word will bear fruit in your life, that you'll realize that you do not have to live in the midst of despair, that you do not have to live with frustrations, that you do not have to worry beyond just these everyday affairs of life about what's going to face you. There's something more important than the price of oil. There's something more important than the fluctuation that we experience in the stock market. Well, I'm not going to say that they are not of concern to many, and rightly so. But in the midst of all of these things that can cause us to be so uncomfortable, there is hope. There is hope for those of you who lie sick this morning. No matter how sick you are, no matter what the diagnosis has been and what the prognosis is, there is hope. Jesus Christ came to be born in Bethlehem, only to die on a cross that you might have hope. That can put a smile on your face and a song in your heart. And that can give you a message to bring to people no matter where they are. And for those of us who have been privileged by the power of the Holy Spirit to know Jesus Christ in his personal way from the time that we were little, how we ought to live as people with a hope that we're not in despair, that things perhaps are not as good as we want them to be. With us personally, maybe with us as a family, with us as a church, with us as a nation. But we know that the future is in God's hands, and he is the one who tapped those early disciples on the shoulder and said, go, go. It is a message that this world must hear, and the only place they will hear it is in the church and through its messengers that I send out. And so today, because the church, at least to some extent, has been obedient, the missionaries are proclaiming this truth around the world, and we who are at home must proclaim it also, that all the world could know that in Jesus Christ there is hope.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, once we sang, "We've a story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story that it will turn the hearts around, a story for a parent to tell his child, a story for a friend to tell another friend, a story to tell it no matter where people go, that in Jesus Christ, born at Bethlehem's manger, they have one who will bring them peace. And so come, Lord Jesus, and be our Savior. We know that you want to. May we open our hearts. May we find our comfort and peace in knowing you, the Redeemer of the world. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy in this busy Advent season. May your heart be touched by the grace that is ours through the Babe of Bethlehem, Christ Jesus, our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported by the gifts of our listeners. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gift to Christian Crusaders is tax deductible. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.